Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ, the people of God, and the privilege of just coming together and seeking you and asking you for help. You are our help, as the psalmist says. We thank you for that. Lord, what a privilege it is to be, Lord, walking alongside something that you are doing. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will just help us. Help us this evening as we just, we dialogue, as we talk about the developments that are happening at Calvary Chapel in the city. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And ask that you be present among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, ministry team, thank you so much for coming. And relatively speaking, shorter notice. So we are gathered here. This is a special purpose ministry meeting, which is unusual for ministry meetings. And I want it to be an evening of dialogue. I want you to ask questions. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to get ideas. And so we are going to be moving to two services. And specifically, two services on Sunday morning and Sunday evening will be moved to midweek off location. That is going to be happening, I believe, it's the second Sunday in July. We just need to have some time planning for that. And, you know, wanted to talk a little bit about why that is happening. But before I do, I want to just raise some talk about some scripture here briefly. You know, the reason that we are going to two services is really for two reasons. Is Kathy going to be coming in here? Because I'm calling her up here. Okay. There are two reasons we're going to two services on Sunday morning. One is that you may have been here this morning. We were at capacity. It's 90% plus capacity. And Vita, you may have been the only college student I saw this morning. Most of them are gone. And so we're still at capacity. No, Jordan wasn't here. I noticed that. I noticed Jordan wasn't here. no, someone else may have been there. Sorry, Jordan. All in the family. But the biggest, and just so you know, in Christian gross circles, which I try not to pay attention to any of it because I'm greatly disturbed at the obsession with growth in the United States of America. They say that as soon as you reach 80% capacity in a Sunday morning service that you should go to two because there's a certain kind of person who just doesn't come back because they don't like being cozy, you know, with people on Sunday mornings. And man, you guys are cozy on Sunday mornings with complete strangers. And I appreciate that. You know, it's like everything else. There's a little bit of wisdom there that you do need to pay attention to. If you really want to know my heart, I would prefer to plant new churches than go to a second service. But God has to raise people up to do that. And you know, there's some folks that's on their mind, but they haven't gotten quite to the place yet where they want to plant a church. Just so you know my heart. There's the Sunday morning service, but the number one reason that we are going to two services is the kids' ministry. And there's a whole lot of kids in the kids' ministry. And actually, right now, Sam, I want to call you up. I want you to describe for everyone the Sunday school. You know, it's funny, 90% of the church may not realize how crazy it is or it can get over. Do you guys know this guy? This is Sam Cole. How crazy it is in the Sunday school. So Sam is the leader of the Sunday school ministry, and pray for him. It's a big job around here. He's coordinating a lot of different things because it's not only our church kids, it's the kids that come in through the bus. But Sam, why don't you just present and let everybody know, I mean, generally, what is happening on Sunday mornings? How many kids and the challenge and the space issues?
Sure. So, once again, for anyone who doesn't know me who's here, my name is Samuel Cole. I'm his son.
And Jordan's my nephew-in-law.
Yeah. All the family there. Anyway, so when I took over as the administrator of Sunday school, there were maybe 20 kids in Sunday school 2.5 years ago. The classes were very small, and there is maybe more than double that now. We have not seen the same growth in the people who are the teachers and helpers and the people who are busing them and the kids worship people. So the classes have become huge sometimes, sometimes to the point of unmanageable.
So what is that? What does huge mean?
Yeah, so huge means a class of 16 kids with hopefully a helper as a teacher. So that's what huge means. Ideally, we want to have 4 kids for every adult. Ideally, that's what we want. The Lord has given us.
Why do we want that?
Safety reasons, I'd say, is one reason. But also, it's easier to teach when you have, you know, less kids that are, you know, maybe not going to pay attention to you. So
right, and so it's they're teaching the Word of God. And I don't want anyone to forget that. They're teaching the Word of God, and we're trying to optimize the environment for that. And behavior can become a hindrance to that. But not only behavior, even if the class is quiet, and there's 16 kids in the class, and keep in mind, it's not like a classroom setting in a school. They're, you know, usually in a table or something like that. There's just, it's distracting. And so, yeah, good.
Yeah. Sunday school is part of the reason, you know, that we're deciding to move to two services. It is a weekly thing whether or not the kids want to behave well or not. You know, we pray every week for the behavior of the kids, and every week it is different.
And we want a good, safe environment, particularly for new people who come in, not to be freaked out. We want them to see an orderly process over there. So, because we're serving them, we're serving the community. Then there's the space issue as well. So briefly go over what we do currently for space, which we don't particularly like, but we're in the city, and we understand that in a city ministry, everyone's going to make sacrifices.
Right. So going back again to when I first took over Sunday school, all 3 classes met in one space in the Fenway room over there. If you have ever gone over the Fenway room in that side spot, it used to be that all 3 classes met over there. That's when each class was at most 6 kids, at the least, you know, 2 kids. And we have definitely outgrown that. That would be ridiculous now to do that. So the first thing that we did was move the, I believe the first thing we did was move the older class, the 10 to 12 year old class, out into the food court. And so you may see that over there in the corner, set up in a rectangle with chairs and Bibles over there. Once again, that's not ideal. We don't want to have to meet in the food court where like things can be out of our control. But that is the only place that we can think of to put that class. And then, you know, as the growth continued, the middle class, the 7 to 9 year old class, is upstairs in a conference room that we rent that doubles as the nursing mother's room. Once again, not ideal, but that's the place that we have.
So, that's where the Lord has us. Okay, everyone give a hand to Sam. So the other issue is nursery. So Kathy, can you come up and everyone give Kathy a hand? She has probably the most difficult job in our church, and she's just a wonderful servant of the Lord. And so can you just explain to us what's happened in the nursery over just the last 2 years in terms of numbers and workers and things like that?
Well, the nursery, the last 2 years, we hit the peak. You know, like we had 20 kids at the time, a lot of babies and few toddlers, because a lot of toddlers move up to the Sunday school. So we have like 10 or 11 babies. Then we have 7 or 8 toddlers. And recently it's the opposite. You know, we have like, I just calculated the maximum, the capacity we have, our own kids, 8 babies. And the max of the toddler is 14, so they reach to 22. I surprised myself because every day keep adding the, like, today Mary's baby, 4 months came in. You know, some kids, they haven't show up for a while, they show up, so they try to come regular. Yeah. So now, 22, on the baby side, a lot of young baby, like 4 months old, pretty much just occupy one whole nursery worker to hold them. Not in the bouncer yet, so they have to hold. So we do need more workers, pretty much. You know, if you have 8, you need probably at least 3 adult workers with 1 helper. Then the toddler side, you know, 14. Today we have 12. So toddler running around. So 2 adult workers today really feel like stressed. They may need more. So I think if we do
and the space has expanded. Space, probably doubled at least since 2 or 3 years ago.
We did a space arrangement, the baby side, you know, the toddler side, when we have 8 or 6, that's pretty spacious for the toddler. No more now. When you have 12, you know, they're running around with the table. So space is an issue too now. I just feel like if we do 2 services, that would be great because we can just separate space out.
Right.
You know, like maybe 1 service has, hopefully, like even like half, then that will be manageable. You know, toddler side we will have 6 or 7, that's perfect. And the baby side maybe 4, that's manageable.
Right.
So yeah, we hope that space we can utilize too. Besides, we just canceled all the evening service. We can save all those 2 workers in the evening. The only thing probably we do need the nursery workers to work twice a month, because we're already streamed with the workers now. So with 2 service in the morning, and workers can still get a message for the other service, and definitely I don't think it should be a big issue to serve twice.
Right. Okay, well, good. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. So what we're thinking about now is, the plan right now is 9:30 and 11:30. That's the plan. We're still working things out. We have a couple months to do that. And, before we go up further, and I want to ask Pastor Scott to come up here in a little bit, it's just so important that we not forget what this is all about. This isn't just, oh, we're growing, we're going to another service. I think of just the Word of God. And the fact that for example, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or the prophets." He said to them, "Well, what do you say that? Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Then he said, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And the image there is the church. On this rock I'll be my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The image, the imagery there is an expanding church with the stronghold and the influence of Satan breaking down. Let's not forget, that's what we're about here at Calvary Chapel in the city. We're about the church and the glory of God as he is working through the church, the glory of God growing, the glory of God being made manifest. I think of Acts chapter 19. They planted a church in Ephesus, and it says that Paul was preaching at the school of Tyrannus daily, and that continued for 2 years. And I just love the verse. It says, "So the word of the Lord grew and mightily prevailed." That's what's going on. We're having a growing effect on the community, and we cannot lose sight of that wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to be a part of what the Lord is doing. And just investing in the children. And, you know, the world's doing all kinds of stuff to our children, pouring stuff into them. But being able to pour in the Word of God, which is living and active, and it's going to get into them, and it's not going anywhere. It's staying there. And, I think that's important. It is going to take a ministry team that is to really step up to the plate and make this happen. Eric was sharing with me Ezra chapter 1 verse 15 about the rebuilding of the temple. It's not the temple, right? Not the walls. The walls was Nehemiah, right? Yeah, the temple. And in Ezra chapter 5, verse 1 says, "The head of fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all those spirits who God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." And then it says, "And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered." And it says, we're studying in the Old Testament that all those wonderful verses, the first three chapters of Leviticus, the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the grain offering, were all free will offerings. And for that reason, unlike the sin offering, the free will offerings were, it says, were a sweet aroma to the Lord, because it was people stepping up to the plate and offering to God freely. And so, Scott, why don't you come up here and just talk a little bit more about what Kathy started talking about, which is just the opportunity to be a part of this process of moving to a couple to two services. And we will have a time for questions and things like that, but just wanted to have a few folks share.
So as Steve mentioned at the beginning there, we'd be doing something different with the evening service. The original, when we originally laid out sort of our, we first started here, we had a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, And part of the, and then sometime later, we moved it to Sunday evening. And really what that became was Sunday night was for people who had served in the morning in all the children's ministry an opportunity to still have a service to attend on Sunday, and they would go in that night. And so, but that posed some real logistical challenges for a lot of folks who especially are traveling farther, to come back in the evening. And so, but we felt that that was going to be something temporary because it's something that's logistically made a much easier when you have two services in the morning. Because then someone can attend one service and then serve one service and still feel like they were part of the church, you know, family there in the morning, the worship service and whatnot. And so we had been waiting for that to happen. So here we are 15 years later. It's finally happening. And so really appreciate everyone who for many, many years have been really dedicating a lot of their Sunday to, you know, serve in the morning and then come back in the evening. And there was a number of folks just for us to meet the ministry needs that were serving in multiple ministries. Again, part of that reason, just to keep everything staffed. And so in one sense, logistically, it'll be easier for some folks to be able to serve. And because today, most people in the children's ministry serve once a month. And it's for that reason, because they're not always able to come back. So trying to minimize the time that they're out of service. Because one of the things that I've always appreciated about Calvary Chapel is just they put the minister above the ministry, meaning it's not so important that we get work done that people get burnt out. And there's a number of things that we do here, a number of policies. In fact, one of the reasons we first started copying the messages was for people in ministry. Of course, now it's on the web, and we don't need as many CDs. So the idea is for those that are serving once a month, there's now the opportunity because there'll be an opposite service that morning rather than coming back in the evening to be able to go to the, say, serve in nursery or Sunday school. Our most acute needs have always been in children's ministry. It's tough ministry. As Sam pointed out, if you go and try and teach 16 4-to-6-year-olds, you know, or 8 crying babies, then, you know, it's tough. You're over there on the other side, and you're kind of worn out, and to try and come back that evening. And so this way, there'll be the opposite service. So we are, in one sense, doubling the amount of ministry in each of those classes, but we're also probably going to be reducing the bar a bit, so that it's maybe a little bit easier to teach a Sunday school of 6 kids, 7 kids, rather than 15. And on the nursery side, it'll be a little bit less, so the cacophony of sound won't be what it's always been. When you go over there, I literally actually was over there with a sound meter once just to figure out where it was all coming from, and that's when we finally had to move 2 classes out of there. And, you know, a little bit of ministry fact. It was actually, I think it was the 7- to 9-year-olds that were making the most noise. So they went up to room 502. That's why you can't hear them anymore. So there's going to be, we've doubled the amount of ministry. Now, hopefully, in giving an opposite service, the folks that have, you know, saw this, the high bar of having to come back, or maybe the high bar of the size of the ministry, may be more inclined to come in and say, you know what, I can serve another slot because I can go to church and sort of be able to both be fed and serve. So if you're able to work one, serve one, it would be great. That'll help out immensely. Do what you feel led to do. You know, we're really trusting the Lord to create the excitement, the energy level and whatnot. We know full well, and we've told those in leadership, it's going to be bumpy at first. It's not going to be smooth. New life, new birth never is. It's always messy, and it takes a little time to get to a steady state. So we just beg all of your indulgence and patience as we kind of, you know, work through what will probably be a new normal. May take 18 months to get there. I think that's it.
As someone who has the gift of shepherding, there's things that keep me up at night. And one of them really has been for quite some time now. What is the effect of a ministry person, and we're talking about someone who loves the Lord, who follows the Lord, who loves the Word of God, being completely out of a Sunday service once or more times a month? And we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that that's going to have a long-term effect on the church and us busting down the gates of hell, but also on an individual, and we have countless examples over the years of people just serving and being outside the service or completely. There's some ministries where they're completely distracted in the service, even though ushering and translation and sound and projection, it's hard sometimes to really be taking in the message. Although I am extremely impressed by Dan Button, who takes notes during my sermon. I actually do not mind saying, "Hey Dan, can you look up and put the verse on the screen?" Because he's writing stuff down. So that's wonderful. So I just wanted to pause now and ask, does anyone have any questions? By the way, the moving out into the community, I personally think, it's my opinion, moving Sunday night to some location near here, I personally think this is what the Lord's really doing. He's getting us out in the community more. So we're going to be more of a visible presence in the community. I think that's a lot of what's going on. We are going to try. We do not know when the midweek service is starting up. It may not correspond with when we go to, and probably won't, when we go to a second service, but we are going to have something else during the week, because as you know, many of the home fellowships, the women's study, the men's study, Spanish study, all are shutting down for the summer. So there'll be at least one midweek something. It'll maybe the service. We may find a place. I want to talk about prayer, because I really want to start getting folks together for prayer. But why don't you, any questions? What are you thinking right now? David Reyes, all right.
Yeah, you said 9:30, 11:30?
That's what I said. Yeah.
So how long will the service last?
We actually are going to have to start getting real disciplined at absolutely not going over an hour and a half. By the way, which we've successfully done on Sunday night. I've been practicing that, and we've been accomplishing it for 2 years. Even this guy, he pokes me relentlessly about going over. Have we not done it on Sunday nights? Just in front of everyone, say, "Steve, you've done it." Please.
You have buckled to the pressure. So yes.
We finish really right at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. And whereas, look, there may be a time where the Spirit's doing something and we'll go over. That is going to be the exception. Not that the Holy Spirit's working. That's going to happen every Sunday, God willing. But that we would go over. Yes, Andrew. Well, did we answer your question?
Yeah, sure. So 9:30 to 11 will be the first service.
Yeah.
11:30 to 1 will be the second
service. Yeah, yeah. So we're fully expecting that there's going to be less people at the 9:30 service, because we're not, in Haiti they have the first service at 7 o'clock in the morning and the second one at 9. We're not Haiti. just the demographics of our church, where we more late night than early morning people. Not everyone, because I know some of you are, but yeah. So come to the 9:30 service because you'll get a parking space downstairs as opposed to 375 Longwood. Okay? We are expecting less people at the 9:30 service. I was thinking if we really wanted to split them 50-50, we would go 10 and 12. But everyone was just groaning when I said that. They groan. Don't do that. So that's what we're thinking now. Hey, if we hear the audible voice of God between now and July 9th, we could switch those times. But what else? Andrew.
Once you have established the midweek evening service, how will that affect the Friday night Bible study? Will you still have it?
Oh, I'm so thankful that you raised that. I was trying to make all my notes before I came here. So the home fellowships... Right now, we feel like we would like to continue the home fellowships. There's a possibility that the Mission Hill study may shut down. But Dorchester and Medford and, man, I would love other ones. Of course, there's the Spanish Bible study. There's the women's study. There's two women's studies. There's the men's study as well. We would like them to continue. I just feel like, small groups. I just sent Matt Conan this wonderful seven reasons why churches need to emphasize small groups. It's by John Piper. Eventually, I'd like to get it out to everyone. But, man, it's just so you can really just stay in the fringe just going to a Sunday morning service. Or a Wednesday evening service only, and it's the small groups where that great accountability happens. And so, but look at everything depends. One thing I've learned over the years about ministry: everything depends upon the Lord and what He's doing with leaders, raising them up and putting a call in their life. So, we could go from 3 or 4 home fellowships to 10, we could go down to 1. The people need to be led, and God needs to speak to people. But I'm really into communities around Boston in a small group setting. Any other questions? Daniel.
For the midweek service, how would the setup and sound work?
Well, how is the setup and sound for a midweek service? The hope is, so we've approached some churches already. The hope is we would be able to take advantage of their sound and setup. Please, God. That's what we're hoping. Saina. Guillermo is head of Rock the World. I believe it's Guillermo's intention to continue Rock the World. But again, it's something that we don't know the timing of when Rock the World is going to kick back up. And of course, it all depends upon everyone in this room and others who are not in this room feeling the leading and call of God to continue with that. And guess what? You may not. Sometimes Scott likes saying the most spiritual thing to say is no, and so we have to have the courage to shut down ministries, is just like we have to have the courage to start up ministries. So, but I think what's on his heart right now is to continue Rock the World. I mean, Scott's kids, our children, wow, did they benefit by Rock the World over the years? Other questions, Sean. Yeah, so the thinking about the day of the midweek studies is that they would be moved. But even that is not as much of an issue. For example, if Medford really wanted to stay on Wednesday night because it's harder for them to come around here, we'd like to be more central with the, maybe they would want to do that. Again, what is the Lord saying? That's why we do want to get together I'm going to seek the Lord about trying to get together for prayer, and to just really strategically pray about the two services and the midweek and what's going on. What else? Questions? Emberly, can you, he's feeling lonely. Scott's feeling lonely. Can you ask him a question? Dean, go ahead, ask Scott. Can you repeat the question?
It's a great question. So the question is, how are we going to staff this with going to two services, which doubles the ministry need, right? So there's two or three ways that we see the some of the needs getting met. One is when we stop the evening service, we're hoping that those that were serving in the evening would be willing to cover some of the slots in the morning. Depending upon the ministry, so when it comes to nursery, in an ideal world, you'd have a 50-50 split. So we've got six workers that are in there every Sunday morning. So maybe it becomes four and four, so you're only adding two slots, even though you doubled the services. It's really interesting as you look across ministry by ministry, exactly what happens to their resourcing needs. Like we were talking with, we think the biggest impact is on the worship team. Two people, they probably need two different sets of people to do worship just because of the burn on the lungs. But sometimes, say, on ushering, folks may serve in the morning, in the first service, and maybe they just do the first part of the second and then go home. Even with the worship, some of the people may do a morning and then just do the worship set at the beginning of the service and go home. So it ends up not being as a full requirement or a need to have to double the number of workers. So we figured those coming in from the evening service, some of the logistics that we're solving for folks who are serving once a month may get solved so that they can serve a second time. So those are the couple of ways that we think the needs are going to get met.
Short one-word answer to Dean's question about whether we're looking to existing people to serve more or new people from outside, the very short one-word answer is both, right?
There's both. I mean, there's sort of reasons for both, but yeah. By the way, there's going to be some families that are serving, and they're like, okay, if I bring my child to the first service, what do I do with them to the second? So, you know, when we were in Rockland, which had a couple of services, sometimes our kids were in, they were in both. They went to both services, you know. Of course, as an infant, they really don't know what's going on anyway. But so don't feel like if you happen to be in a case where your kids are here all morning that you've sort of done something wrong to put them in the second service or the first service as well. But, yeah, it's going to come from a combination of probably existing workers. And otherwise, I think as well, we do have sort of a steady flow of people coming in to the ministry. And, frankly, I do think they get a little scared off when they look over at the mayhem on the other side. And so, you know, they're going over and seeing half that size, I think, would be a little more encouraging because that's where we start out a lot of our Bible teachers is with the children. It's a great place to start learning to teach the Bible. The kids are really forgiving. And So I think three opportunities. You know, Sunday evening, some of the existing people, I think more will come in.
Questions? Other questions or comments? Lena, what about interpretation, translation? Yeah.
So this is the way to bring people into the 9:30. They only translate at 9:30.
There you go. The Latins, you
special
know, the Latins
services are at the 9:30. The early bird gets the translation worm.
What is going on now is that there has been a conversation with every ministry leader, with an elder or a pastor, about starting to think about how this is going to be possible. And because it's really different for every ministry, it's very, very different. You know, in theory, for example, nursery may benefit from this move because more people will be able to serve twice a month. But other ministries like ushers, it's going to be tough. So they're all talking about it. So Guillermo, who is the elder over the translation ministry, and the leader of the translation ministry is Mary de Silva. They've already talked. I think they're thinking about those late sleeping Latins, so it's going to be 11:30 only, I think. But again, I everything depends upon what happens, because what so often happens, which is so very encouraging about being a pastor, is that someone comes along and says, you know, I'm from Uruguay, we get up early, and I want to come to the morning service and translate at the morning service, you know, things like that happen. So, but I think that that's where Mary is at right now. Right, Mary? Correcto. Okay. And so you all will be meeting with your ministry leaders in meetings over the next 4 weeks. And talking about this, because we want ideas. We don't claim to be, believe me, we're not claiming to be the only people that are hearing from the Lord here. You guys may have ideas. We're also sensitive to your needs. We want to know what your particular situation is. And so, you're going to be getting together each ministry, and you're going to just be talking about, you know, how we can work this out. What else? Yeah, Dean. Am I going to split time with another pastor? Are we going to be doing, me at a morning service, early morning service, if you call 9:30 early, and someone else at the 11:30? No. It's going to be me all day. It's going to be me all day, or Eric all day, or Scott all day, or Matt all day, or Greg, or whoever it is. It's going to be all day. Yeah. And so, you know, part of the thinking is we want to get the people who are serving in ministry, we want to them to get the same message that everyone else is getting. You know what happens on Sunday morning? My view on Sunday morning and is very different. What happens here on Sunday morning is what happens at a midweek service or at Sunday night. What happens on Sunday morning is a prophetic ministry of what God is doing amongst the people in our church and the people coming in. And by that I mean, the Holy Spirit has a message. It's chapter by chapter, line by line, but it's a word that a pastor has received from the Lord that applies specifically to different life situations that people have who are happen to be walking in that morning, and also prophetic in the sense as a church, God's doing something with us as a church. And he's using the person in the pulpit to do that. And we want everyone getting that same message, that same Sunday morning message. Sunday evening and Wednesday night, I don't know how many of you ladies went through spiritual gifts study. Wow, that's very cool. Okay. There was a long study on the spiritual gifts. Very big difference between prophetical gift, preaching gifts, and a teaching gift. I really look at what we do on Sunday night as strict teaching, line by line, in depth. What does this mean? Let's go deep. And it's not so much of a prophetical message. I mean, that type of thing happens, but it's not so much as a message where, you know, it's speaking to where a community is at this time. Am I making sense to everybody? They're two different things. So yeah, it would be important for the same teacher to be on Sunday morning, both services. But that's a good question. Thank you. What else? What else are you thinking about? Do you have any ideas? That was such a good movie. Who saw that movie today? The woman. It's not a woman's concern. Learn your options. I'd like to maybe send that out, because if you weren't here, we support a crisis pregnancy center in Revere. Kelly showed a great movie this morning, and I think I'd like to send it out, because that was just fantastic on why we are involved in this ministry. But what Kelly? Right.
Even with cutting in all of the children's ministries that have, like, are their kids still going to be in the food court?
Yeah. No, the thinking is the kids would no longer be in the food court or the fifth floor. However, you know, that can change. And so the question is, are we looking for a building? So 3 years ago, when we were signing a contract, we actually hired someone who went out over a six-month period and looked at every single property in the area, not only to buy but also to lease. Can we do a five-year lease where we have rights to a space 7 days a week? And it was double what we are paying in rent. And what we're paying in rent now, I mean, if any of you guys have looked for a new home, I mean, or rent, you know what's going on in Boston now. So we are where we're at, and city ministry is very unique. You literally get to be called to make sacrifices like what we're doing here. We're still seeking the Lord. And as I said, I really feel like what may be really going on, this is the beginning of a move out into the community. And we are looking at some churches who, they may not have a whole lot of people right now, and you never know what's going to happen. Once we move in there in a midweek, you just never know. There may be an opportunity to move that in, to get in there eventually. We are going to be, it's my intention to be talking to these churches, hey, can we have availability like during the week if we want to do other things? I mean, some of the churches we're looking at, not a whole lot is going on there. I mean, you've seen these kind of places in Boston. And so there may be that. But yeah, I agree with you, Kelly. We're always going to be struggling with space. Yeah, it's like a city thing that we have. Yes, David.
So if we go to services, the bus ministry, how does that work?
So Eric and Nicole have been meeting. I don't know exactly what their current ideas are. And so they're going to, are you in the bus ministry?
Me?
Yeah.
No, but I teach the bus ministry.
Okay, yeah. So they're going to be talking about, you know, how to do that. Right now, and I forgot to mention this, right now we have a cap on the number of kids that come in through the bus ministry. We really don't like that. I mean, you know, ministry is expanding and you cap and you don't let more. We'd like to not do that, but we all have to be seeking the Lord. Yes?
So right now,
so right now for the folks aren't here, and leaders, please make sure if your folks are not here, please make sure your folks listen to this. We're putting up on the web. The idea with the bus ministry currently is Dorchester kids come to the morning service, and Mission kids come to the evening service. Oh, sorry, the 11:30 service. There will be no evening service. That's the idea. Yes.
You did a good job answering Kelly's first question, but you snuck the second one kind of under the rug there.
Oh, she had a second one?
So what are you going to do then for space for Sunday school classes for each of the two services?
What are we doing for space for Sunday school classes for each of the two services? I don't know. Sam, do you know yet?
I haven't heard that we are
Okay, Sam hasn't heard that we're moving out of 502 in the food court yet. So you guys are going to be meeting and talking about that. I particularly don't like when a brand new person comes with their kid and we're bringing them up to the fifth floor of a hotel. And we always have a woman up there. But, you know, that's a tough one. I don't like that. Yes, Nicole. So will there be childcare at the midweek service? The idea eventually for the midweek service is identical to the evening service, everything. But again, the Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, this ministry team, and others at Calvary Chapel in the city, and bring workers. Interesting verse about Matthew, where Jesus says, and some of you will say, "What, Steve, you never saw that before? That's really strange. How could that be?" But where Jesus says, call out, pray for workers to come into the harvest. Now, what was wrong with what I just said? Pray for workers to come into the harvest. I misquoted it because that's how I quoted for years and years and years. What? No. No. Pray that the Lord would send workers into the harvest. How am I getting that wrong? And it's so wrong. It's an incredibly terrible mistake. No. Someone's doing what they should be doing. Matt's looking at the verse right now. You see, I can't believe it took so long for someone to do that. What's wrong with that verse? I'm misquoting it. For laborers, for what? Ay, ay, ay. See, I'm not as dumb as I thought. Now, you guys are making me feel really good. This is huge. I'm misquoting this verse, Matt.
We're going to go faster if you just tell us.
So just for the recording, my son said, we'll go faster if you just say it, Steve. It says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send workers into my harvest. That's a big deal. It's not the harvest. It's his harvest. It's not our harvest. And the reason I bring that up is it's his harvest, so it's his business raising up the workers. That's a very comforting thing for me because I'm always thinking, I have to keep this thing together. No, it's not my thing. It's his thing. It's his harvest. It's not my harvest. And so it's a comforting thing, especially at a time like this, that it's his harvest. Okay. Anyway, I'll let you guys off. I should have kept on going. Another question? Yeah, Derek.
Yes. I was just curious. Now, the two services in the morning, I assume they're going to be the same message?
The two services in the morning will be the same. Does everyone recognize that voice, by the way? Does everyone recognize that voice? It's the silky radio voice. It's Renew FM, the silky radio voice. Okay, go ahead.
What was my question? Oh, okay. So I guess my first question was...
Can you get up and just say your question into the mic? I just want everyone to hear this voice. Come on, get up here. Can I just say this? I do wish I could bring every single person up here and let everyone know what you do, but this is the most obscure behind-the-scene ministry in the church, the radio editing ministry, and it takes, 8 hours a week? How many hours?
Am I on? Okay. I guess it would take...
Well, is he on?
I don't know. I don't care. So basically, it takes about...
Come on, we want the silky voice.
It's on? Okay, now I definitely am on. Okay, so how long does it take? Well, usually, let's say there's 5 programs a week, which are half an hour, so it's splitting a message in half, so that would be approximately, let's say, the message is 45 minutes. Multiply that by 2.5 2 hours, 3, 4. I'd say 3 or 4. I don't think 8.
Okay, so 3 or 4 hours a week. He's during the week. He's huddled up and he's editing messages. What's your question, Mr. Silky Voice?
I can't. I don't know if I remember anymore. okay, so the two services. They're going to be the same message. So my first part of the question was, are they both going to be on the internet? Because we're going to post them. Are we going to post both of them or just one of them?
We would just post one.
And you know which one? Is it going to be?
I don't know. What do they do in Rockland? The better one. You're going to listen to both one and evaluate which is better.
Oh, good Lord.
That's what you're going to be doing every week.
Okay, no. Sorry. I was just curious.
You just went to 4 to 8 hours. That's what you get for contradicting me up here.
And Derek never asked a question again. No, I was just curious because, of course, I'm going to be doing the radio, so I didn't know. I wanted to know which one.
Yeah, I guess we got to get with the projection folks and just figure out which one we're going to be downloading. I think it's probably better to put the second service on there.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I know some people that, you know, they sometimes they feel like when they do it the first time, they're better. I'm just saying some people feel like that because they feel that second time it gets a little like rote. But who knows?
Right, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But then again, it might be another thing where you feel like, oh, I said something bad. Now I remember not to say that the second time. So
you're right.
So, yes. Well, whatever.
Okay, thank you. You're everyone, welcome. Give him a hand. Five 30, Renew FM, by the way. That's 103.7 and 102.1 south of the city. We are no longer on WETE, which is 590 AM. Any other questions before we pray? We'll be sending out something over the next couple weeks about a strategy for prayer. I'd like for folks to be getting together and praying. Of course, I would like for you to individually pray and on this as well. And man, if you're willing, fast as well. As I've been fasting and praying about these things. And I was on a significant one last summer where I really left the mountains of the White Mountains, and the Lord had told me this was going to be happening. And so I'm thankful to the Lord for just speaking. Yes, Dr. Taylor. Everyone, Dr. Taylor. We have a new doctor in our church as of a few days ago. Have we been talking with Setup and Worship about practicing worship in the morning and what time they're getting in and things like this? Yeah, they have been talking about that, and it just is painful even hearing what time the Setup team is thinking about coming in. But I'm up at 1, 2 in the morning on a regular basis, and so I'm a night guy, not a morning guy. So I think the plan is to get in a little earlier, but... there is going to be an issue with sound and worship practice. No question, they're trying to figure that out. If we had time, I'd have Dan come up here and talk about it for a little while. But anything else? Yeah, Kelly.
One more. So typically we rent this room all day on Sunday. So would that cease at a certain time?
Yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting what happens. So our contract is up in February, and... they are going to be sending us a contract. It's kind of nice to have a bargaining chip. We're no longer using the space on Sunday night. Please be keeping the relationship with the hotel in prayer. And when the new contract comes along, we're hoping to get a break in the rent, and hopefully, with the idea that will. Will help us with the midweek location because we're going to have to pay for that. But there hasn't been an increase in rent in 3 years now. So maybe it'll offset the increase. But the place will still be available for different things on Sunday night. We've been having a tough time having people come out on Sunday night for things like even marriage seminars that we've had in parenting. It's just a struggle. And so it's part of the reason, you know, we're doing this. But we want to, you know, we want to just continue teaching the Word of God and not stop. I was speaking with my mentor, one of my mentors this week. I have a couple mentors, probably number one of whom is a man by the name of Damian Kyle. And he, you know, after I went through this whole thing and I was trying to get to the next subject, he goes, just let me tell you. You know, everywhere I go now in the body of Christ, and he speaks all over the place, I go into mega churches and I walk into their evening service and I'm like, whoa, what happened here? I'm like, where's all the people? And he goes, there's been a contraction in the interest in the Word of God. And but he said, whatever you do, don't stop teaching the Word of God. And so we want to continue teaching the Word of God. And man, I don't care if the Bible study gets down to one or two people. I've always told people, oh, I'm discouraged. There's only a few people at my Bible study. Don't be. I mean, I remember, you know, when we first got started off married, my wife didn't have the same interest in the Word of God as I did. I tried to teach her the devotional. She wasn't interested in listening. But she went off and she joined a precept Bible study about a year after we were married. And, you know, she came home all excited about the book of James and the Word of God. And it was just amazing. There's just two or three women in that study. And I think back, wow, I wonder if that woman was discouraged. How crazy is that if she was discouraged? I mean, the impact that that woman had just... teaching the Word of God. So we want to just continue teaching the Word of God. And so, but that will move to a midweek. Wow, that was a long-winded answer. But yeah, so Sunday night is going to be, there's not going to be anyone here on Sunday nights. And I'm going to certainly meet with a hotel soon and because they love this kind of stuff. Hey, you can rent out the Longwood Hall now. I like to try to give them good news. You can rent it out on Sunday night if we're not doing anything. But be, you know, stay in prayer about the hotel. You know, the fact of the matter is, we're still in a great situation here. I visit other churches and they're a ghost town 20 minutes after the service. I mean, no one is around. 20 minutes after the service, that place was packed this morning. I went out and looked out there. It wasn't 20 minutes, actually, it was 40 minutes. And praise the Lord for that. So we do need to stay grateful, you know, while we're here because it's a very cool, a really cool situation that we're in. Other questions? Thank you so much for coming out. Yes, Danielle. Well, the hotel does give us a good price for other evenings, like the youth group talent show and things like that. And so we can always do one-off rentals. Yeah, but that's a good question. So, what do we do about special events? And so they've been good to... It's actually in our contract that we have with the hotel of what we can... How we renting out during the week, so this place rents out for we pay about $400 to $450 per room now for this and the Fenway, and we pay it three times, so three times each week. So Sunday morning, Fenway Sunday morning, and this Sunday night we technically get the Fenway for free. But then there's also parking, so. It's expensive. It's like $2,200, a $2,200 check every single week to stay here. And the budget, by the way, is we're doing well this year so far in terms of meeting our budget, and I just praise the Lord for that. But it's just one of the things about being in the city. A lot of churches this size not only have a pastor, they'll have a youth pastor and a paid administrator, a paid youth pastor, a paid administrator, and maybe a part-time paid worship leader. We don't have the benefit of that because of where we're at. But praise the Lord. The Lord has us here. He's using us, and great things are happening. Last night, evangelism started. There's 8 trainees. Be praying for them. They're going out in the streets, and they talk to a lot of good people. And really excited about the 2-7 classes. We had another 2-7 class start last week with, 5 or 6 women. We're really excited about that, as well as the many other 2-7 classes that we're starting with the small group discipleship. You know, cool things are happening. It's great to be able to be a part of it. And every Sunday morning, I mean, I said, look out. And this morning, I almost 10%. I don't think I'd ever seen them ever before. And just to be able to give them the gospel. They may be one-time visitors because we're in Boston. It's a great opportunity, what goes on here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. So what else? Any other requests? So you'll be getting together with your leaders and different with your ministries. They're going to be calling together meetings over the next few weeks. For the last 5 minutes, why don't you just get in little groups of 3 or 4 and start praying about these things. 5 minutes, because I want to hold that 8 o'clock thing that I have on Sunday nights of stopping at 8. So let's just do that. So God bless you. Thanks a lot. Let's continue praying for the next few minutes, and then parents, you can go get your kids.